Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power-packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Hello there, Rhema Remnant Radio. Listeners, this is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of Spirit Street Talk Radio, coming in tonight, starting a special series by the name of Practical Ministry Series. We briefly kind of touched the surface of this series a few months ago. We're coming back onto this series, and we're going to be consistent throughout the next coming months. I pray that the principles discussed and expressed in this particular series, as well as the Divine Health series that I have the privilege of doing on this broadcast for you, our kingdom leaders, will bless your ministry, and you'll be able to tangibly take these principles and apply it to various operations within your ministry, from administration on into your sermon preparation. When you do see the effect of applying these principles and the various things that we speak about in this series, you see the outcome and the fruit from it. We absolutely want to look forward to hearing from you about these things. We want to hear praise reports. We want to hear questions from you. We are always open for questions. We're always open for prayer. You can, at any time, call 24 hours a day, 641-715-3900, extension 626-1083. You can leave your message concerning the prayer request that you have, the question that you have, or you can email us at any time, 24 hours a day, urbanglorycampaigns@gmail.com. Also, if you're listening by phone, and if you're off the phone, you can go on the internet, or if you're on the internet and need to get off the internet, you can listen by phone. You can listen online at blogtalkradio.com/Rhema, and that's R-H-E-M-A, Remnant, R-E-M-N-A-N-T, or by phone at 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. Now, for a quick word of prayer, and we're going to go right into our lesson for tonight. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship again on the Rhema Remnant Radio Division of Urban Glory Campaigns. We thank you for the ministry of Urban Glory Campaigns and all that it represents, the training and the giving to your people, the people of God, particularly the leaders of your kingdom, who give out all the time, who give out every week, who give out to so many different types of activities, outreach, in their sermon preparation as well as their sermon presentation. We thank you for the strength that you have given them. We ask you now to strengthen their bodies, their minds, and their spirits to operate continuously in the ministry that you have called them to. Encourage them. Keep them encouraged, Father. Help them to cast every care on you. That scripture applies to us as well. The ministry leaders, casting every care on you, for you care for us. You care for every preacher. You care for every teacher. You care for every person that works in administration. You care for every music minister. You care for every person that operates in the media arts. You care for every person that operates in your church, in your kingdom, in ministry. And we ask you now to bless every one of them, bless them in their finances, bless them in their physical conditions, any health conditions. We bind now in the name of Jesus and cast them out. We thank you, Lord, and we claim and know that we are to walk in divine health, and not only claim it, but we believe and trust you to give a strategy on how we can individually operate in divine health, what strategies we need to take, what exercises we need to do, what food we need to eat, what rest we need to take in order for our health to be in place. And as far as practical ministry, Father, we thank you for the principles that you're going to continuously reveal to us and the strategies you're going to continuously give to us so we can operate effectively in your kingdom, operate effectively in your kingdom, operate effectively in your kingdom, being at full rest, being fully persuaded, being fully available for you to reveal to us and use us in your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, give me one second to pull up the document that I need, and we'll get right into the series. Again, this practical ministry series is a series and teaching that will discuss the principles of practical ministry in a way I don't believe you've ever heard before. So stay tuned. Keep tuning in to Rhema Remnant Radio. And I'm not just saying that because it's me. Those of you who've heard me speak before, that's not even my personality. I just know the things that the Lord has revealed to me I've never heard before, and I do a lot of research. And I listen to many different preachers in different denominations, different audiences. So continue to tune in to Rhema Remnant Radio. And, again, give us feedback of the various testimonies that you have coming from this particular series or the Divine Health series. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. These are the words from our Lord and King, and the other words are from an apostle who both marked history with an imprint that has and is to be noticed by millions. These recited words of our Lord capture, I believe, his prayer capture, I believe, his prayer to the Father and his command toward us concerning the will of God in the earth. And the apostle quoted, we all know, many of us preach his words every week. The apostle Paul wrote these words to his predecessor, Timothy. These words marked his efforts to impart and train another kingdom leader who, too, marked history within the first church. 1 Timothy 4 and 12, I believe, captures the heart and core of this series. Paul's intent, in essence, was to urge Timothy to do the work of the ministry, and not only do the work, but do it right or righteously. In this series, we will explore and implore various principles of ministry, administration, ministry operations, and effectiveness in ministry. The purpose of this study is to encourage the kingdom leader to do the work of the ministry decently and in order. Decently and in order. Our objective is to revisit the biblical principles of proper ministry operation by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his apostles, as we observe in Scripture. The goal of the series is to provoke you, the kingdom leader, to begin implementing the application principles given toward the work of the ministry. Practical ministry is when revelation meets reality, purpose meets planning, and prayer meets practice. Revelation meets reality. We see this three-thirds in Kingdom Leaders in Habakkuk 2 and 2. We read the scripture all the time. We see revelation meeting reality. The scripture says, and the Lord answered me, this is Habakkuk talking, and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Many of us, when we look at the scripture, emphasize writing the vision. But in that verse, we see an elaboration from that phrase. Write the vision and make it plain. You wonder why many of your staff members aren't able to follow through in the way that you expect. Consider how you're communicating the things that you want done or you believe are to be done in your particular ministry. Those of you in business, faith business leaders, your staff is not carrying through or the sales aren't going through as you desire. Consider your business plan and how detailed it really is. This scripture deals with that. Habakkuk 2 and 2, write the vision and make it plain. There are dynamics to each of your ministries and businesses in the operation as far as the planning is concerned of the making it plain. So I cannot even dare give you a cookie-cutter strategy for each of your individual ministries. But I will, in this series, we will go through strategies of administration in part two. In part one, we want to look at the overview, of course, and deal with what practical ministry really is. Write the vision and make it plain. Consider how clear can be interchanged with clear. How clear is the vision? Not just what is to be done, but how. A lot of times we say what we want done, but there is no how. There's no training, which we'll deal with that later. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We receive revelation from God, but relevance is not there. Why? We are in prayer, we're in our devotion, and we receive a word, as we say, in the church, but we don't stay long enough to get direction. The will of God, the revelation of God, is disclosed to you for the purpose of your distributing it in some form, whether it's in action or in communication to someone else. You call yourself a leader, you call yourself a preacher. God gives you these revelations not for you to be puffed up, not for you to say, I got a revelation, okay, now what? Many times we're in our services and we say, God said to me last night, and we emphasize, of course, you know how we are. Last night God spoke to me. And then we say the three words that he said. And we get excited of the fact that our Father spoke to us, but didn't stay long enough. We don't stay long enough to hear exactly what we're supposed to do with those three words. Come on, preacher. Let's stay before the Lord and get the full picture. Get the relevance of the revelation. It's exposed us for the purpose of distributing to others, the congregation, the world, our outreach base, the people that you are assigned to reach. Instructions are put into action when relevance is initiated. The instructions that you receive the full instructions, first of all, and then these instructions are put into action. They turn into action. They turn into a tangible state. They turn into a substantive state. People are actually affected by the revelation and instructions that you receive from God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it is the manifestation of the sons of God that the earth is groaning and travailing for. As the sons of God are manifested and revealed, and the glory of God fills the earth, the groaning and the moaning of the earth will be satisfied. They are hungry for the glory of God, and we are not able to fully give it to them because we are going off of three words and not staying in the presence of God and hearing not only the revelation but the instruction so that we can have relevance in our ministries and every operation that we are involved in this earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We say this all the time, on earth as it is in heaven. What are we doing in our time with him to make sure that his kingdom does in fact and in truth come on earth as it is in heaven? His will coming in manifestation in a tangible form to this world and to the outreach base that we are called to. He is the one that knows his will for man, and he will manifest according to his will, which his will is what supplies every need, and gives even according to the desires of the heart. Many times in our operation, I can give an example not only in speaking the word, but operating in music ministry. Many of you know that I operate in music ministry. As you're singing to him and for him in the presence of the congregation. So it's never really about you. You end up being benefiting from it just because he's a God that everybody gets some type of benefit because he's just like that. We know that as preachers. A lot of times, or ministers, a lot of times we get stuck in us and the fact that we're being used, okay? Now what? Don't get stuck in the fact that you're being used or you're the one with the title or you're the one with the mic. Go past that, go up, and realize that you are singing, you are preaching, you're speaking for him, and you're speaking or singing to the congregation. A lot, with singing, a lot of times the worship is going toward him. There are often songs that are message songs, and it's going directly to the people before his glory. So we must prioritize and properly use proper places when it comes to what we're operating in at the time. And all of this comes to a balance and stays in balance when our perception is correct and we are always about his will and about him. As we were saying, operating in ministry, whether it's in spoken word, speaking the word, or in any type of music ministry, any ministry that involves hand work, administration, it's about him. So we're doing it for him, but we're in the presence of other people. So there is a dynamic, a two-way dynamic that happens in our ministry. This all deals with relevance. A lot of times we walk around, oh, I got a revelation, oh, we need to do this. But you don't stay in this presence long enough, as we said before, to hear the instruction. So you're walking around looking crazy and sounding crazy to people, and you're like, oh, they just don't understand. No, of course they don't understand, because you have not expressed understanding. We see in the Gospels where Jesus takes the disciples, the ones, the 12, that were closer to him, to the side after he spoke to the multitudes, and he opened their understanding. Pastor, come on now, your staff is so distant from you, and you're wondering why things aren't effective and things are kind of getting stuck. The relevance is not there because you are not tangible to your immediate staff. How is it that you're not tangible to the 12? It doesn't make sense. Who are you? Jesus was tangible to his disciples. They could ask him questions. They could pull on his garment. They could pull at him, Master, what is this about? What does this mean? Your staff can't even ask you questions. That's not of God. Jesus himself was available to his disciples for questions, for opening their understanding, for making sure that they knew how to pray. He said, come pray with me. They fell asleep. He got on them. But your staff is not able even to pray with you? That's unacceptable and not of God. Revelation without relevance is ineffective. There's no relevance in your ministry because the revelation is not meeting you actually carrying out or applying or being connected with God properly, hearing him fully, and then your staff having access to you. Whether you're in business or you're a church leader, your pastor, your overseer of pastors, you need to be accessible to the pastors. There is a protocol. And if you don't abide by the protocol, how can you expect the members of the congregation that you are over to abide by protocol? There is a flow. As we see with the illustration of the anointing flowing from Aaron's head down into his beard, out to the skirts, we see a order there. That's another major word. That's a key word. If you're taking notes, write that word, highlight it, circle it a couple times. Order, protocol. There is an order that God has set up, and we see it. I don't have to go through the details of it, but we see it in Scripture. We have to be reminded that there is an order, and we must demonstrate it and be an example, as 1 Timothy 4:12 says, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, and purity, and give ourselves to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Giving ourselves to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Giving ourselves to reading, exhortation, and doctrine before we even tell our members and congregants to give themselves to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. We must consistently give ourselves to these things so that we can save ourselves and those that hear us. We receive revelation for the purpose of not only distributing it to others through communication and through communication of various forms, but we also receive it for the purpose of doing his will. The revelation of God and the power of God combined gives us the empowerment to do his command, do his will. That kingdom come. His kingdom plans are released to you in your meeting with him, your meetings with him, and he works within you the motivation and the strategy to do of his good pleasure, as Philippians 2:13 says. Thy will be done on earth. His will, which is one with his mind, his thoughts, become tangible in your daily life and then flows through your ministry operation. Many of us are not consistent in our daily lives as far as receiving a word from God and then acting on it, along with the instruction that he gave us with the word. A lot of times the problem, the error is, as we said before, not hearing the whole matter. Scripture tells us that a fool responds to a thing without hearing the whole matter. We don't want to be foolish, especially in the positions and the responsibilities that we hold and have. Revelation for the purpose of doing his command. Practical ministry is when purpose meets planning. His purpose is planted in our hearts. The ground of our hearts receives the seed of the word that holds his purpose in the heart of it. We see the purpose of God, his heart, of what he wills in the earth, what his kingdom is to be in this earth. We say that kingdom come, that will be done on earth. We can't do his will without first knowing his will. Practical ministry is when his purpose is planted in our hearts. It seems like I should say that like a million times. I'm not going to bore you with that redundancy. But his purpose is first planted in our hearts. We see this in Luke 14, 28 and 29. We see his purpose, we see the counting of the cross in Luke 14, 28 and 29. I'm getting ahead of myself. His purpose is planted in our hearts, and we then count the cost of carrying out his purpose. His purpose needs planning in Luke 14, 28 and 29. In Luke 14, 28 and 29, we see Jesus himself speaking about counting the cost. And we know we are to count the cost spiritually, we are to count the cost socially, and we are to count the cost naturally. What is it going to take for us to carry this out spiritually? What type of praying, what type of fasting is it going to take? What type of time in the presence of God? What type of intercession is it going to take? What spiritual principles are we going to have to put into action? What spiritual actions are we going to have to take in order for this to come to pass, in order for this to become tangible, in order for practical ministry to happen effectively? What do we need to do socially? What type of outreach do we need to do? Many of our churches, it's 2010, many of our churches still don't have email systems to do e-blasts. I've spoken within the last 2 months to 3 different ministries, representatives of the ministry, and asked, hey, can you put me on your emailing list so I can know what's going on in your ministry? And they were like, they started scratching their heads. They were like, we don't have one. It's 2010. I couldn't even fathom that. And then I said, okay, well, do you have a mailing list? 2 of them said no. It's 2010. I won't linger on that, but it's come on. We got to get modernized, not to the point of where we get secular, but to the point of where we can effectively reach in this time. Many people don't even open up their mailbox except they know money's coming in some form. But a lot of times people are sending money electronically. People go to email. It's free. You can receive and send documents free of charge. We've got to maximize technology. We'll talk about that in part 2. Count the cost naturally. What money and resources, human resources, what type of tools, what type of time, what type of energy is it going to take to get this done, the various projects that you have planned, the various projects, period, for business, for churches. What is it going to take? Who is it going to take? Who is the best fit for the job? That we'll talk about in administration. But purpose, when it meets planning, all of these questions are considered. We count the call. Christ talks about this. Jesus talks about this in Luke 14, 28, 29. I'll read it for you hearing. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? 29 says, lest happily after ye have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. This reflects the same principle that is discussed by Paul to Timothy when he talks about the profiting that will happen if he continues in these things, speaking of the doctrine, speaking of him not forsaking the gift that was in him, given to him by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He told him to meditate on these things and give himself wholly to them, that his profiting may appear to all. Doesn't that sound like what's said in verse 29? The positive version. In 29, we see that if we don't count the cost, there will be people who will see that you started something and you are not a strong finisher. So they begin to mock not only you, but the enemy drives them to try to mock God, which God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. You did not sow a full product, so you don't a full investment, so the product is not full. We have to count the cost. We have to do planning. Do it ahead of time. Give yourself realistic. Revelation means reality. Be real about it, and not this real that everybody's talking about, being secular, being fleshly. Real meaning actual, factual, operating in truth. Counterculture, spiritually, socially, and naturally. Practical ministry is also when prayer meets practice. We acknowledge His way, we acknowledge His will, and we acknowledge His government. How does He govern His kingdom? We acknowledge all of these in each of our ministries and businesses. Then we see, as our acknowledgement in His way, will, and government, in our prayer time and our devotion time and our meetings with Him, that whatever we do prospers. Because as the purpose of God is planted in our hearts, we are continuously planted by the river of living water. The Spirit begins to feed our dream. He begins to feed our operation. What God gives us by revelation, the dreams and the ideas and the various entrepreneurial actions and strategies He leads you to take, and every clear instruction, not only given to you, but written clearly. These things begin to flourish, and our roots begin to get deeper. So we're planted strong. The purpose of God is planted strong in our hearts. As we have counted the cost and continuously count the cost, that's another error that is made, analyzing analysis during the process. We say, okay, we made a plan, and we get tired out by the planning. So when we're operating in the conference that we've planned for a whole year, or if we're in the service that has been planned for about 3 months, we're in the service and we're so tired out that we're not accessible to Him. The purpose of the meeting doesn't get met. We have to, during the time, do not only analysis, but have availability and have sensitivity to His Spirit, to His way, His will, and His government. What is His, how is His heart going to be reflected in this? What is His purpose and what is His desire for this particular operation or this particular project, this particular service, this particular conference? What does He want done in it? And how? What is the government of it? How does He want it done? It's always a process. We cannot be lazy. We cannot be lazy in the process. We have to have a plan, and during the process be accessible to Him, and then see our actions and whatsoever we do, according to what we've acknowledged in Him, according to His way, His will, and government prosper. This is practical ministry. It's not just being as simple as possible so people grasp it. That is just a taste of what practical ministry encompasses. Practical ministry is threefold. There are so many dynamics out of the threefold, but we've talked about it here. There's planning, there's practice, there's action. There's revelation that's given and meets reality. It becomes tangible. The purpose of God, the heart of God, meets the planning part. We plan. If you notice in the three parts that we've talked about, preachers, it's threefold, but there is a twofold in each fold. I'll elaborate. It's threefold in the part of revelation, purpose, and prayer, being aspects of practical ministry. We receive from God. We get direction from Him because it's His church. This is His work. It's His kingdom. That meets reality. We receive His purpose in our heart. It's planted in our heart. That tangible seed of His word and revelation planted in our heart. And as we are in prayer with Him or in devotion, we begin to carry out His purpose and His plan. The second fold of each of those folds or categories, strategies, however you want to use that dynamic, is our part. Revelation means reality. Reality is our part. We have to receive effectively, not just get three words, but really sit there and wait. Tarry, for real. Not sitting in a service, stand your views, but tarry and wait in his presence, wait for him to finish speaking. We get so selfish and so self-centered that we say what we want to say, and then we get up. Can you imagine? I don't like this. I have spoken to people like this, but I don't like this. The person who calls you, they don't give you much room to say a thing. They say what they have. They're like, all right, I'll talk to you later. And you're like, wait a minute. That wasn't a conversation. That was you relating information. You don't relate information to him. Prayer is a communion. Yes, you cast your cares on him, but he shows his care toward you by giving you instruction, by telling you what really is going on, by expressing to you his will for the whole matter. We have to allow him time to speak up. So that's our part. That reality portion is our part. And the purpose meets planning. We are involved in the planning. We, after his purpose is planned in our hearts, we come to call spiritually, socially, and naturally. Prayer, meeting practice, the practice is our part. We have the human bodies that actually do the action, that actually speak the words, that actually write up the documents, that actually communicate with the correspondence by phone and email and what have you. We do the practice. We carry it out. We do the speaking. We do the studying. We do the typing, as I've done for the last couple of weeks for this. We do the practice. It is our part. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He tells us to go. He gives us a commission, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you. He says, go teach. Go make disciples and teach them to observe all things that I commanded you. Teach them to observe my commandments, and lo, I'm with you. So he gives us the commission. He says, I'm with you. Paul talks to Timothy and says, don't let anyone despise you. That's something we tend to emphasize. But the meat of it is next. But be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. There is a list. I believe those are the requirements for any person who's considering ministry. They need to be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity, which is love, and spirit and faith and in purity. Paul then says, so I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Then he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He then says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed. Pay attention to yourself. Take heed. Take consideration. Heavy consideration to yourself, examine yourself, and also to the doctrine. Take heed, listen to the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. These are the words of our Lord and King and an apostle who both marked history with an imprint that has and is to be noticed by many. By millions. These recited words of our Lord capture, I believe, his prayer to the Father and his command toward us concerning the will of God here. And Paul, who many of us preach his words every week, wrote these words that we see in 1 Timothy 4:12 to his predecessor Timothy. These words mark his efforts to impart and train another kingdom leader who, too, marked history within the first church. 1 Timothy 4:12 capture the heart and core of this series. Paul's intent, in essence, what's to urge Timothy to do the work of the ministry, not only do the work, but do it right or righteously. What is practical ministry? Beyond what you've heard in this presentation of part one, continue with us in this series to further explore and implore various principles of ministry, administration, operation, and effectiveness. Practical ministry, when revelation meets reality, purpose meets planning, and prayer meets practice. I pray that you enjoyed the teaching. That's it for tonight. We will continue in this series as well as Divine Health series. Anyone that you know that's even suffering from a cough, you need to have them listen in to Rhema Remnant Radio to listen to Divine Health series. It's not your normal healing teaching. It's not even a healing teaching. We're talking about health, which is freedom from disease and sickness and how to live that way. It's a lifestyle. Divine Health is a lifestyle. Practical ministry is a way of being. It's when revelation meets reality, purpose meets planning, and prayer meets practice. And you keep tuning in to Rhema Remnant Radio. We love you. All we call us at 641-715-3900, extension 626-1083. We are here for you, kingdom leaders of our God and King. Have a great night. Stay tuned. Also, in the coming broadcast for events that are designed specifically for you and also for the various members of the body of Christ. Have a great night. God bless you.